Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel is up at the podium, so we'll send it over to St. Thomas Sports Park now.
After the game or this morning, just how's he kind of responded after yesterday?
Well, I mean, he's already, you know, been in here with the receivers and, you know, been in here with the coaches, and he'll respond like he has. He's been a great competitor for us. He's been unbelievably tough and determined, and, you know, I'm positive that those results will be different.
And does Raylan look like he was recovered well enough from the knee injury, or was he having any issues in terms of separation and those sorts of things?
Well, I mean, there were times that Traylon was open. There was times that Traylon was open and caught the ball. There was times that he was open and unfortunately dropped the one. Traylon's going to be a big part of what we do, you know, moving forward and just understanding, you know, where he fits for us and what he can do to help us. And, you know, I've tried to explain to every skilled player on our team, you know, when it's a pass, your job is to get open, and you can't control whether you get the ball or not. The only thing that you can control is that you're open. And sometimes that he, you know, he was, and sometimes that they were, you know, they'll give them credit. They played, you know, on body and they, you know, played square and forced us to, you know, get open.
In those type of situations with personnel, I know in the past, like Tony Dews would communicate with Derek, hey, you're out, you're in, et cetera, with a new coach. How does that work now, with Coach Otten now in the mix?
The same way, but, you know, J.O.'s upstairs and Tony handles, you know, substitution, and, you know, we have different packages that we call on or the coordinator calls on that he wants in the game, and, you know, those guys go in there and sub, or if Derek, you know, has a 46-yard screen pass and needs a break, then Derek will, you know, kind of do that as well.
Were you on the fence when you declined the offensive hold?
Yeah, you know, I think so, you know, just figuring a rookie kicker, 52-yarder, you know, wasn't thrilled with the third down, you know, them getting down there. So I made a decision, and he made the kick.
You touched on it a bit yesterday, but do you mind elaborating a little bit on that difficult decision with the fifth field goal as well and kind of what went into that?
Well, I think at the time it wasn't a difficult decision. You know, I thought our chances, and still believe that, is to play defense with three timeouts and get the ball back with our offense with one timeout, get the ball somehow into the 35-yard line and make a kick. And we had converted two third downs and fourth and six with that amount of space for them to cover. I didn't think that was going to be our best way to win the football game. I believe our best way to win that game would have been to play defense, stop them, which we didn't do, which is unfortunate. And then somehow find a way to make a kick.
In that thought process, is where the ball was on the field play at all? You know, like, had you not gotten it, they would have been inside their 10-yard line in all likelihood. Does then how they handle that?
No, because, again, we're still going to probably – you still would need a touchdown, and you'd still need, you know, at least 65 yards. No, it was our thought process was to use the two-minute warning, have a timeout for our offense, you know, and be able to move the ball, you know, 40 yards to be able to attempt a field goal.
That decision, and that was all field, not concerned about analytics. You're just looking at the field again.
Well, I mean, you can run the numbers, but also I think that there's a certain level of we all watch the same game. And points were hard to come by. You know, both defenses were doing a nice job and competing and getting red zone stops. That, you know, they got a third and seven that they scored a touchdown on. We got lackadaisical, but just the flow of the game and the way that I felt like what our best chance for victory was to do that, to make the kick, to cover the kickoff, use the 2-minute warning, and you know, get a stop.
What kind of explanation you get on the interception fumble play? And I'm sure you saw the Jacksonville game yesterday, almost an identical play that went the other way. What did they tell you about why they didn't let that play out and why they didn't reverse the call?
Never talked to Ron. Certainly not going to reverse it in replay. Those are you're going to watch throughout the league. Next week it's going to be a fumble. The week after that it's going to be an incompletion. The week after that it's going to be a fumble. And the what they're going to tell you in replay is that the call on the field matters. The call on the field is important. I would love for it to let it play out and go to replay. You know, showed a clip last year, same exact situation. I think it was week one. I think it was the Chargers and Washington. You know, ball on the ground, and every player on our team, I'm like, is it a fumble or an incomplete? And they say, we don't know. And I said, that's exactly right. Like, they know that. They know that they're not sure. So Kevin and everybody responded exactly how we want them to. Knew that they blew it dead, so knew that we would just get the ball at the spot, but also knew that it was going to be hard to reverse and replay because of what the call in the field was.
Like a Dobbs play last year, you pleaded for more consistency.
It's going to be the next week. There's going to be another one, guys. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? It's like I can't. There's nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do. Well, speed of the game and let it go to replay, and maybe, you know, let them all go to replay and let replay, you know, decide. And if maybe clear and obvious, or you know, doesn't get it done, then we need a different term, because a lot of these quarterback, you know, I mean, they're all happening. You know, those are the ones that are hard. Is the ball in the hand? Is it coming forward? And I can see where the conflict occurs. It's not why we lost the game.
Clarity from as a member of the competition committee?
I just want them to be decisive and want them to – I would like for them to, if they're not sure, you know, allow replay to sort it out. That's why we play to the recovery of the ball and not the whistle or anything like that.
For you, is there a clear distinction between a continuation of a pass and the hand pushing a fumbled ball?
I think it's a difficult job on the field. I think when you look at it in replay, it becomes somewhat reasonable to expect that you could determine whether it was a forward pass or a fumble. But I know, having stood back behind the quarterback, that is more difficult than some other calls.
Are the officials not instructed to then, when in doubt,
you guys can just ask the league about what they instruct the officials to do. Well, I mean, I certainly am not going to be able to speak for them. I apologize. Like, whatever the call is, we're going to have to adjust to it and figure it out. But if they want to talk to you, they're happy to talk to you.
What do you think, Christian, of Harold's first game back, and might it take him a little bit of time to kind of get back to full form?
Well, you know, we've expected a lot from Harold, and he does a lot for us, and he'll have to continue, you know, to help us and will, you know, and be more impactful. And, you know, they chipped him a couple times, and, you know, we was able to get in there a few times, and we just, you know, we're expecting, and we are positive that we'll get good things from Harold.
What did you see in the week to get a lot of looks from Kiko when he was the elevation, and maybe had some other guys that were active that, you know, weren't playing as much as he was?
Oh, man. Pecco's always been somebody that's, you know, done it exactly the way we need it to be done and can play multiple positions. And so he can rotate in there for Tier or Jeff and, you know, playing base. Decided to take four guys to the game, and that may change based on practice, game plan, you know, who we have. But, you know, he's always, you know, been a dependable player and somebody that can play multiple positions.
Arden Key, just disruptive as a guy you're seeing maybe for week one?
I thought him and Danico, you know, certainly affected the quarterback and made plays on the football. Danico, you know, had some tackle for loss and showed up in the backfield and set the edge when we needed to. And both of them, you know, factored. And that was, you know, really good to see. We'll need a lot of it. But those were the camps. Those guys had those type of camps. And so we'll need as much of that as we can get.
Guy back into the game when they tell you they can come back into the game. In hindsight, was Christian equipped to come back in the game? He was kind of galloping with a limp there.
I mean, when we see him run on the sidelines and the trainer tells me he's cleared, you know, he was playing on third down in the second half. You know, we'll see where he is going forward.
How did the two tackles look in their first outing, Dillard and Hubbard?
Well, I thought that they, you know, Dre, we talked about it, you know, just probably a few sets that were a little soft, maybe just not knowing or not feeling him where he was. I think after we continued to bring it to his attention and realized that he wasn't doing a good enough job of setting the width of the pocket, I thought it improved. I thought there was some, you know, some good snaps of him in the run game. I thought Chris did a nice job over there on Cam Jordan. Thought when the end tried to spike or got a little heavy on when Jordan got a little heavy on Chris, he went and captured the outside number and gave him a shove, and Derek ran outside for 15 or 16 yards. But there was also some good plays and some bad plays, and you know, but I thought it was a good place to start. I loved how they responded in the second half, and we had some good pockets in the second half, probably better so than in the first half.
For a corner DB to defend a double move by a receiver,
not look in the backfield, start there and play the man, and you know, if you break on the first move and you go through the man, you know, it's an illegal contact or a holding, but certainly nobody's trying to defend a double move by looking in the backfield. That'd be the most important place to start.
What did you make of the way your secondary played overall in this game?
I think it has to be better. It has to improve. I think we need to challenge. We need to play square. You know, if these are the rules, which we try to explain, that you know, they put out an officials video and teaching the officials, and they've sent it to us and the teams, which is great, that if you're square or you're playing the football, that you're going to be afforded a certain level of, you know, leeway, just like the interception down today. That's what it is, and so we know that, and we have to play that same way.
How much does it help that you've been here before? Last year you went 0-2 to 7-3, the year before 0-1 to 12-5. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Well, it's a long season, Corey, and it was a great test of I think a good football team on the road in an unbelievable environment. Could have been a lot better. Could have been a lot worse. Our job is to win the game. We didn't. But our guys fight. They compete. And the team, you know, we need to keep improving. And we say this all the time. The teams that improve are going to be the ones that are playing in January. You know, 49ers and you know, talking with Brunskill after the game. He's like, hey, coach, you know, and I love getting to know Daniel and his story and just how he's gotten into this league. He's like, hey, coach, 49ers, you know, they lost week one in Chicago, and we were playing late in the year. And I said, I appreciate you reminding me of that, Daniel.
Why do you think week one has a tendency to do that throughout the league, where you get some surprising results every year that seemingly aren't indicative of what a team ends up being? So in your experience, why is it difficult?
Because this is a unique league. You know, this is a unique league. It's an 8-8 league. 9-8, 8-9, however you want to put it now with 17 games, but that's what the structure is. The structure is designed for parity. And, you know, maybe there's teams that are at full strength, or there's teams that maybe didn't quite prepare, or somebody hit some plays that, you know, they didn't see in practice, or, you know, teams continue to get better as the season goes on. Maybe they threw a different coverage at somebody. The ball security. Right, you talk about maybe there's some fumbles, or in our case, in interceptions, right? That lead you know, blocked punt, right? The things that we talked about that would really hurt us, that show up in week one, and you know, just because you know you're playing 70 snaps, and it's just different than training camp and preseason. Just beat underneath. I thought Chig could have come out and help him a little bit, but you know, can't be up and under. Everybody that's been here that's in protection, whether it's an offensive lineman, a running back, or somebody on the punt team, you know, we have to block inside out. It was one of our special teams keys. Knew that they would rush punts, whether it was JT Gray, who ultimately didn't play, whether it was Taysom Hill or Bond or you know, Granderson. You know, that was something that they did. They did it on field goals. They did it on punts. and you know, we didn't get it done.
How's Gronsky hold up in his first game?
Pretty good. You know, I thought pretty good. There was a couple of times where he could have been better in protection, but I would say that, you know, Peter is, you know, he's fit for this league. You know, it's just he's got, you know, good play strength and, you know, some good finishes where he was moving people and, you know, pass protection when he gets his hands inside on them and be able to sit down in the middle. It got us on a game there where, you know, we need to be better, but I think it's a good start.
Again, what were some of the things that were going wrong there?
Penalties, you know, penalties, right? You know, we didn't execute. You know, it's just tough. We got behind the sticks, and you know, so we get the ball whenever we get it. You know, we lose yardage. You know, we get down the other time, and it's second and 20, right? Long yardage situations in a red zone are tough. There's just not a whole lot of space, and every yard is critical. We've talked about that. So self-inflicted wounds, and then, you know, give them credit as well.
Is there a common thread on some of the third down struggles beyond being behind the sticks?
Third and eight, you know, average of third and eight on third down. You want to be better on third down. Don't have them be so long.
Nick Holt, as you expected him to be when you signed him?
I mean, 5 for 5. I wish that he was 6 for 6.
Tim, when the coin toss or the head or tails calls.
You know what? I don't know if he typed on his little. I don't know if he typed on his tablet, heads or tails for KB. But that was a unique moment for me to be able to see Tim and Steve there together before the game, and you know, Steve talks with an interpreter, is his aide that. He moves his eyes, and she knows what he's saying. And that was cool for me to communicate with him through her. And then obviously, you know, Timmy in his tablet. So, you know, hopefully that brought some awareness to an unbelievable disease, but also to two great alumni of the National Football League.
Would you say that the way things went with Henry in the fourth quarter or just the second half, would you say that that's an outlier, like something that,
probably, yeah. I would, yeah. I mean, I don't think that, you know, those are something like we're going to need a Derek, and we're going to need everybody, and making sure that we get into a rhythm and that we figure out things that we can do consistently. And Derek will be a huge part of that. I can assure you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Mike. All right, there you go. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We will react to what Mike Vrabel had to say there coming up next. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Like a Dobbs play last year, you pleaded for more consistency.
Next week, there's going to be another one, guys. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't, there's nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do. Well, speed of the game and let it go to replay. And maybe, you know, let them all go to replay and let replay, you know, decide. And if maybe clear and obvious or, you know, doesn't get it done, then we need a different term, because a lot of these quarterback, you know, I mean, they're all happening. You know, those are the ones that are hard. Is the ball in the hand? Is it coming forward? And I can see where the conflict occurs. It's not why we lost the game.
There goes Mike Vrabel up at the podium. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're live out here at Vanderbilt Legends Golf Club at Brent Peterson's golf tournament benefiting the Predators Foundation. You can tell there because Mike Vrabel has to walk a very fine line, not getting in trouble by the league and totally eviscerating the referees. I think I could tell there how frustrated Mike Vrabel was with that non-fumble call when that pass from Derek Carr very clearly was a fumble. If Josh Dobbs was a fumble, that was a fumble. But D-Mace joins the fold. How are we doing, D-Mace?
Hey, we're doing well. Had a good morning golfing. Hit me a shot from 52 yards out, right in the hole.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was a chip.
That's
shot.
What we
I
call
loved
a
it.
Nick Folk shot.
Exactly. From 52 out. Oh my goodness, it felt wonderful. Now I want to go back out there. Not today. But I wish the Titans could have felt the joy that I felt after hitting that hole. I wish they could have felt that yesterday. In regards to the it was a fumble. I mean, everybody in the building realized it was a fumble. At least it should have been the Titans football.
Yes.
Least they should have had the opportunity, because then that would have been 3 points off the board for the New Orleans Saints. But I just
and maybe 3 to 7 points for you.
Yeah, but I just thought that game was officiated all bad. From pass interference calls they didn't make, to obviously the fumble, to other calls that were sort of questionable calls or calls they didn't make. I don't think they officiated it as well as they could have. That's something Vrabel can't say, and neither can Dennis Allen say. But it's just like everything else. These guys are working their way back into it, just like the players are working their way back into it. I think I truly think that Vrabel need to rethink what he does for preseason. He really does. Especially, I don't know why he didn't change it this year. You got a bunch of new guys on this offense, and you only play the starting quarterback. You don't even play the starting receiver, one of them. You play the other one and don't throw the ball to him. But you play the starting quarterback three plays, and all three of them are running plays. Well, it didn't, and it showed in this game. It showed big time.
Something that they will have to reassess next year. And I think a lot of teams, because all around the league.
It was sloppy play.
It was sloppy play in the first week. So it's a trade-off. Maybe you got a couple more guys healthy than would have been, but what's the trade-off? That's what every coach has to do. I think, though, listening to Mike Vrabel, he tried to stay as consistent as he was yesterday after the game.
Right.
I have a feeling there were some discussions, either last night or this morning, with some people at the league. And like you said, he's got to be very measured. And what I thought was interesting, he encouraged, and I hope they do it, the people that cover this team should contact the league and say, do you feel like you messed this up? In so many words. I can see in real time, if an official makes a mistake, even if he is taught, let it play out. Ball gets knocked out of the quarterback's hands, ball goes forward, let it play out. Then we'll go back and figure it out on replay. That is, it's been in there long enough that they should know that by now. This is not the first year. As an official in the NFL, you should know that. They didn't do that. Okay, go back and fix it on the replay. It is clear that ball was knocked out of his hands. It's not even close. So you screwed it up twice. Mike Vrabel, I thought, showed pretty good restraint, more than I would have, for sure.
You could tell. You know, through some Vrabelese, how he really felt. But at the end, he was right. They didn't lose because of that call, because they missed so many more opportunities. But it would have been a completely different ball game had the referees made the right call. And I don't mean to say I told you so. But I was saying that Tannehill and D-Hop and that starting offense should play a little bit more in the preseason, and Willie was too. And look, I heard Robbie and Joe talking about that this morning, and they said, well, you know, we don't know if that would have made a difference. You're right. We don't know. But the last 3 years, the Titans have lost the season opener in really dramatic and heartbreaking fashion, where, you know, either Tannehill was off or the offense was off or the offensive line was off. And I don't know, maybe a little bit of work in the preseason could eliminate some of those mistakes. Maybe not. But if you've lost the season opener 3 years in a row, you think you might want to try something different, since Tannehill hasn't thrown a single pass in any of the preseason games the last 3 years. It could make a difference. It might not. But that looked like a quarterback, and that looked like an offense that was just off. And you don't have a lot of time to fix that.
And we'll never know. Like Jonathan Hutton made the point. Hutton made the point today with Chase. The Steelers did play their guys a lot. They looked really good in the preseason.
And they didn't
laid
look very good.
A big egg yesterday from the very start. So there is no foolproof answer on that. But it's a fair thing to bring up.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your thoughts, your reaction on the Titans' loss at New Orleans. But I want to get D-Mace's evaluations of the receivers. Treylon Burks didn't get a single target in the first half. DeAndre Hopkins was the intended receiver on two of those interceptions. Where is that miscommunication coming from? D-Mace's evaluation of the receivers coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Hey, tune in for National Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 5:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and Family Leisure.
This morning, just how's he kind of responded after yesterday?
Well, I mean, he's already, you know, been in here with the receivers and, you know, been in here with the coaches, and he'll respond like he has. He's been a great competitor for us. He's been unbelievably tough and determined, and, you know, I'm positive that those results will be different.
That was Ryan Tannehill on Treylon Burks and his performance yesterday. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're live out here at Vanderbilt Legends Golf Course. Brent Peterson's golf tournament is today benefiting the Predators Foundation. Now, I mean, Treylon Burks was essentially, you know, non-existent in the first half. He didn't get his first target until the third quarter. And that's something that we have all been talking about throughout the summer is, you know, Treylon Burks needs to be your number one. Treylon Burks is going to be the future core of this wide receiver room. You know, you want to build your offense with Treylon Burks as part of the foundation. And I wanted to see more from Treylon Burks. I wanted to see Treylon Burks get a good bit of targets. And look, we're only in week one. But D-Mace, what was your evaluation? I want to get into D-Hop too. But first off with Treylon Burks, why was he not as much of a factor yesterday as maybe we wanted him to be or expected him to be even?
That's the question that Tim Kelly needs to answer. I think the fault falls on Tim Kelly and the quarterback. You know, and I said this before all of this happened. I said, listen, the problem we may have here is Tim Kelly being so comfortable with D-Hop that they choose to go to D-Hop instead of going to who their true young playmaker is and getting him in the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. And it happened in the first game.
It happened exactly
how
you feared it
would happen. He did not target him in the first half.
Yeah.
What in the hell are you thinking about, Tim Kelly? What in the hell are you thinking about? That's my thing. Mm-hmm. He's your first-round pick. Why in the hell do you not try to get him the ball? Easy plays. The quick screen you were throwing Hopkins – throw it to Treylon Burks. You did not make him a part of that game early. When you don't make a receiver a part of the game early, they tend to float. I don't care who the receiver is. They tend to float throughout the game, which means they're not really truly in tune with the game. Why? Because you are going completely away from them. And don't tell me, well, it was the defense. No, it wasn't a defense because you could have designed him to get open. The way you designed D-Hop to get open, you could have designed Treylon Burks to get open. You made it an effort because I guarantee you, during halftime, somebody said to you, Treylon hadn't got the ball, mm-hmm. and he needs to go. And what did you do? You got the ball right away. It was too late. You targeted that man three times. Now, he did drop one that was easy
That's
catch.
On him.
He should have caught it. But in the whole game, you targeted him three times, and that was all in the second half. How can you do that to a guy that can make plays that you drafted in the first round? You drafted because you gave your other receiver away to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then you come back first game of the season. You are the offensive coordinator, new job. And you go completely away from your number one pick. That astounds me. I just don't understand that. You did not go toward him in the first half, not one time. The problem that this team is going to have, as good as D-Hop is, catching the ball, he only averaged eight or 9 yards a catch. You know how many yards they average passing? 4.9 yards passing the ball.
It's so bad.
That is horrible. You might as well just turn around and give it to Derrick Henry or Tajay Spears if you're going to do that.
Well, that's what was working.
You threw a bunch of nickel and dimes that were not doing anything for you other than one series where you hit Hopkins two or three times down the field. Well, really not down the field, but 10 yards down the field and got you first downs. Other than that, there was no consistency to this offense. The quarterback missed big plays down the field, and you couldn't design – it seemed like you couldn't design anything to get your true legitimate playmaker, the guy that has that explosiveness, the ball. You couldn't design anything for him in the first half. And then the second half, you only throw him the ball three times? That's inexcusable, totally inexcusable.
Do you think, D-Mace, there was a little bit – because – we broke all these numbers down about DeAndre Hopkins last year, 79th or whatever he ranked, right, in efficiency. Yards per catch down. and which a lot of it was justified with he was playing with backup quarterbacks in there. But I thought that they almost went overboard to try to invest early in him. Let's make sure he feels good, that he feels good about his decision to be here. That Ryan Tannehill's mentality is, I'm going to give him a chance to make some plays. He's a star in this league. I want to build that trust. But they almost it backfired because they tried to force it to him at the expense of not going to some other guys that we think can be good. But you texted during the game to our little text chain that we observe. We give our observations. You said they have forced it to him a few times. And it cost them two interceptions, right? It was the worst-case scenario. It's not like they forced it and you had incomplete. But do you think that their mindset was almost too much towards going with the old pro?
Well, I think it's Tim Kelly, but then because Tim Kelly feels so comfortable with D-Hop, it trickles down to Ryan Tannehill. And in Ryan Tannehill's mind, I got to go to him. I have to go to him. Why? Because he's the proven commodity out there.
And he wasn't open for some of these.
He wasn't open a lot of times, but they still forced the ball. Listen, D-Hop is going to catch the ball a lot. If you target him 10 times, he's going to catch at least 7. Okay? But it's not going to be 7 catches that is going to be impactful catches.
Right.
None of his catches.
3 or 4 yards.
I would say maybe 2 of his catches were impactful catches during yesterday's game. Other than that, the other catches, they basically, here you can have these 4 yards, catch it.
Who's that on? Is that on him? Is that on Tannehill? Is that on Tim Kelly? Is it a little bit of everything? Is it a little bit more situational? Like that one interception that Tannehill explained that he thought that D-Hop was kind of, kind of turn over his back shoulder, but then there was the Saints defender that was
they were playing cover two. They were playing two man. That's all they were doing.
Who's that on?
They were playing two high on top of D-Hop. The corner was underneath. D-Hop got on top of him. Ryan Tannehill should never threw that ball. That ball shouldn't have not been thrown to him. Now, again, this is what we run into. Because D-Hop has proven he's going to catch the ball more times than not, you're going to force the ball in there to him. And Tannehill needs to stop. Tannehill is too much of a veteran guy to be forcing balls the way he did yesterday. I don't know what was going on with him. I don't know if he had a bad night's sleep. The trip to New Orleans wasn't as good. He didn't get his first-class seat in the front. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm sorry that he didn't get 8 hours, Ryan.
He didn't get his Snickers on
the football.
He didn't get his Snickers on the plane.
We talked about this. When you get it, I used the pickup game reference. If I get in a pickup game and I've got Michael Jordan on my team, I am going to pass the ball. I'm going to show the utmost respect to the older, smarter, better, best.
But
but he's a, that's the mentality I think that Tannehill had to a fault.
But
to a fault, he went overboard with
that's
it.
That's what separates Ryan Tannehill from elite quarterbacks. That's what separates good quarterbacks from elite quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Because Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have never forced the ball 13 times to him. He would have got him the ball, but he never would have forced it. Tom Brady never would have forced it, but he would have got the ball, but he wouldn't have forced the ball in situations that Ryan Tannehill forced it. Ryan Tannehill needs to be the leader of this team. It seems like it's like, oh, I don't want to upset nobody, so I'm gonna throw the ball over here because D-Hop is the veteran guy. He's made a bunch of plays in this league, so I'm going to defer to him each time. Grow a backbone, Ryan Tannehill. Orchestrate this offense the way it's supposed to be orchestrated. D-Hop's going to get the ball. No matter, he's going to get it. But you got to spread the ball around to other people because the New Orleans Saints knew exactly what you wanted to do, and that was to get the ball to D-Hop. There should have been other interceptions in that game.
Yeah, he could
have
had
five. There was another one on the sideline he was trying to force the D-Hop. The guy dropped it. It was like, dude, what are you doing? New Orleans knew exactly what you were doing. You were trying to force the ball to an individual you shouldn't have been forcing it to. You should have went through the progression of your offense and found open guys. He was so hell-bent on getting D-Hop the ball. Listen, D-Hop is going to get his catches. But the minute you start forcing things, it takes everybody else out of the flow of the offense. And he did it too much this past game.
We'll continue the conversation coming up next because it wasn't just about Tannehill's interceptions, because those are a massive part of the story. It's the balls that you mentioned that weren't intercepted that could have been, and just simply the bad decisions. We'll continue D. Mace's wide receiver evaluation and, of course, your thoughts as well. TD will join us in 15 minutes. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Overdetermined to get the ball to DeAndre?
I think maybe. You know, we have, you know, when you play quarterback, there's, you know, you can't just sit there and, you know, it's a yes, no, you're going to go to a side. And obviously, you know, if the DB's underneath, we probably don't want to throw a back shoulder. We can't throw a back shoulder. I'm okay with the decision, you know, when you're over here and, you know, you're going to give DeAndre a chance, but you got to give him a better chance. And, you know, but I just think that there's times where if guys double covered, we certainly need to progress through, and to progress through, you have to have a, you know, pass protection to be able to take an extra hit or to be able to come back and work the backside.
There go those Mike Vrabel at the podium earlier today. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're out live out here at Vanderbilt Legends Golf Course for Brent Peterson's golf tournament, benefiting the Predators Foundation. D. Mace has been giving his evaluation, his breakdown of the wide receiver performance yesterday. And Mike Vrabel was asked there, do you think he fed the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, maybe to a fault? Because I'm good with feeding the ball to your playmakers, whether it's D. Hop, whether it's Treylon Burks, or whether it's Derrick Henry. What I'm not okay with is continuing to try something that isn't working. I mean, what is the definition of insanity? It's trying something over and over and over again and expecting different results. So I don't have a problem with feeding the ball to D-Hop or Derrick Henry or whoever it might be as long as he is cooking. What I do have a problem with is feeding the ball to DeAndre Hopkins when he's double covered and you've got a wide open receiver, maybe not as far downfield, but you got a wide open receiver downfield and you've already turned the ball over and you need to be safer and more careful with the football and you need to just pick up yards wherever you can. But that one interception in particular, where Ryan Tannehill throws to DeAndre Hopkins back, the Saints intercept it. Ryan Tannehill thought that, you know, that D-Hop was kind of going to curl back around and come over his back shoulder. Just continuing to break that down, is that a chemistry thing that can be improved upon throughout the season? Is that an offensive scheme issue? Is that a Tim Kelly thing?
It shouldn't have been thrown. The ball shouldn't have been thrown at all. I mean, it was two man at least.
So that's us through it. Two man.
Well,
what does that mean?
Two man is the corner on the receiver. He's playing man to man, but he knows that he has help over the top. He knows that he has help over the top. So when the wide receiver is lined up, the DB is typically going to be inside of the receiver, and he's playing everything underneath. So you could take a release. He's going to let you get up the field. He's going to let you get on top of him because his thing is to protect everything underneath because he has help over the top from the safety. The minute Ryan Tannehill saw that it was two man and that guy was underneath him with that safety over the top, he should have never thrown that ball. That was not a throw. That was not a ball that you throw. I know what Vrabel says, you know, giving him, you know, targeting your playmakers and targeting D-Hop. No, Vrabel, call it like it is, man. Listen, do not force the ball. And I don't care who it is. Mm-hmm. Don't force the ball in there, especially when you see the corner underneath the guy looking at the ball. You just don't force a play because now on television it looks as if it was the receiver's fault. Mm-hmm. No, it was the quarterback's fault because the quarterback should have never thrown it. The receiver read it, right? It was cover two, man. There was nothing he can do. He just stayed on top of him. That's a pass that either – you throw long and out of bounds where nobody can get it. And if the receiver can, if he does miss him, he miss him out of bounds. Or you look to your other option. He had enough time to look to his other option, and he chose not to do it. Again, he's too much of a veteran guy to make the mistakes that he's making. The ball he threw to Chris Moore shouldn't have never thrown it. Chris Moore was double covered. But you're trying to force another ball. You had Chigakonkwo, I believe, running wide open underneath him. And you had enough time to throw it. Mm-hmm. Again, he's too much of a veteran guy to make these rookie mistakes. This is a mistake that we would have been killing Malik Willis for. We would have been killing Will Levis for. But I would have understood. They're young guys. They saw coverage, and they threw it. They got food. How does a guy that's been in the NFL, what, 12 years, 13 years as a quarterback, how do you get food on two man?
You don't get food on two man.
You forced that in there because you had tunnel vision. You knew where you were going pre-snap. You didn't care what the coverage was, so you threw it out there anyway. And what happened? It became an interception.
We said at the beginning of the show, he picked a bad day to have a really bad day because that game was there for the taking if he plays reasonably better. Let me duck this one thing in before I go and try to hit a 52-yard chip. You've set the bar high.
Yes, I did.
D-Mace with my crew. I have to try to help my team. But I thought the announcing team yesterday was outstanding. The Titans-Saints game is not going to get Jim Nance and the top crew.
Oh, right? McCourty and them did an excellent job.
Jason McCourty, I think that's his first
game.
I thought he and Ross Tucker together were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the play-by-play guy I wasn't familiar with either. I thought he was good. I thought he played off of those guys very well, let them have their space. I thought their analysis, there were a lot of tricky plays. And they hit on a lot of those things that you said, D-Mace. I want to just give them a shout-out.
Yeah.
Jason played for the Titans, obviously, for a long time. He used to do a player show on our station while he was playing. And you could tell he had the gift. And now, obviously, the Good Morning Football is a big gig for him now. But, man, in the booth, I think that team has got a future. I think they're going to move up fast. I thought they were excellent.
Well, they did an excellent job calling that game, and Jason did an excellent job at explaining what was going on, what the defense was trying to do. And, you know, there were several situations that he explained, even on the deep pass interference that they didn't call. That's why I said that game, that game was – it wasn't officiated the way it should have been, because that fumble, that call should have at least been a Titans ball at the 5-7 yard line, somewhere around there. And that Olave should have been first and goal on a 2 yard line, because that corner, who was it, Moten, whoever it was, they got flat out beat. And he just grabbed him by the shoulder pads and pulled him down. They didn't call that. Everybody's looking in the building like, what's going on? So that officiating crew didn't do anybody. They didn't help the Titans.
Or
they didn't help
the flag twice
before
halftime.
They didn't help the Titans, nor did they help the New Orleans Saints. But what it comes back to is that this team was awful on third down. This team was awful on getting the ball down the field. Again, they averaged 4.9 yards a pass play. You know how many yards as far as the ball being in the air? New Orleans, on the other hand, damn near average 8 yards per pass attempt or pass play. You can't survive in this league if you're dinking and dunking. You got to be able to hit those big plays, those explosive plays. This team last year had one of the fewest explosive plays in the National Football League, and it seems like they're on that trend once again. One, because the quarterback missed two great opportunities to hit guys wide open down the field. And then another, they run this sort of offense that it's an elongated. That's all it is. If I'm throwing a ball 4 or 5 yards down the field, I can't win games like that. I can't consistently win like that if that's what I'm doing. Why? Because teams do not respect the Titans' ability to get down the field. I'm telling you, after watching that New Orleans Saints game, teams are gonna sit on D-Hop all day, every day, and then they're just going to play on the top of Traylon Burks. They got to find a way to mix this thing up. And I'm not saying Tim Kelly can't do it, but he and Ryan got to get on the same page as far as what they want to do and who they want to target.
And I think, you look at the Titans, the offense is at its best when it can dink and dunk, but your margin for error gets that much slimmer when you don't have that explosive play guy, or you don't have that quarterback that's able to extend plays or able to get the ball 40, 50 yards downfield. So you can't afford to turn the ball over that many times. You can't afford to commit that many pre-snap penalties. The Titans can win some games by dinking and dunking it down the field, but they struggled even doing that against the Saints yesterday. But I want to get TD's thoughts on it. He will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.